and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez, and with me in the studio right now, a very familiar voice. If you've been listening to the show since before it was Good to Grow, when it was Sunscape, you may remember Oscar Mestis. Welcome back, Oscar.
Thank you, Norma. It's great to be back.
Well, Oscar, you're the regional urban forester for the Texas Forest Service. And in case maybe people are new to KTEP and they don't know anything about you, let us know what it is that you do in your job.
Okay. Quickly, I work for the Texas Forest Service. We are part of the Texas A&M University. I am officed here in El Paso. The majority of my position deals with urban and community forestry issues, so working with communities, municipalities on tree care issues, landscape issues, street tree issues, park tree issues, anything like that. And I'm also currently now, my region used to be stop at the Pecos River, and I have inherited beyond that all the way to Howard County, to Big Springs. So, and I now have Midland Odessa in my area also, so I travel quite extensively. I'm a single person in a resource office here. But I love my job, and I like working with trees. Another new thing that's coming up with us is called emerging communities, helping out the smaller communities that are around larger cities that are having growing pains, and hopefully working with them to see if we can help develop good standards and practices for tree care before they get too big.
So you work with, you know, the municipalities or with the community groups? What is it that you sort of work with?
I work with anybody pretty much who has a tree care issue, mostly municipalities, you know, city governments, county governments, state governments, national governments. For instance, I was just down in Big Bend working with the trail crews and natural resource people down there, training them on how to prune their trees and take care of the trees for the health and safety of the area. I was in Presidio County in Marfa working. The county judge wanted to have a little small inventory of what's going on with his trees around the courthouse.
Now, do we have any arborists here in El Paso?
We have lots of arborists in El Paso. The precaution is in the state of Texas, anyone can call themselves a tree expert. So that's why I always caution folks, finding someone who take care of your trees with a background, both education and experience, really helps. And in our profession, there are three societies or three professional groups that monitor and or help arborists promote their own professionalism and increase their knowledge. Those three organizations are the one of the biggest ones is International Society of Arboriculture, and I have the website, isa-arbor.com. So that's International Society of Arboriculture. And you can go there and look up a certified arborist. You can become certified through that organization. Another organization is called Tree Care Industry. They certify tree companies, not just individuals, but the whole tree company to be certified. They have credentials. I believe they're called accredited tree care companies through them. And you can go to their website, and that's all one word, treecareindustries.org. And if you're looking in the state of Texas, as part of the International Society of Arboriculture, each area has its own chapter. But Texas is so big, we have our we're our own chapter by ourselves. So you can also go to ISA Texas. That's all one word, isatexas.com, and look up information. You can look up for training and education and workshops, what's going on. And a good link for the consumer is a link called Trees Are Good. And that's real simple. That's real simple to remember. Treesaregood.org. And that's a good place for the consumer to start to ask those questions. You know, why should I hire an arborist? How do I hire an arborist? What should I look for? And things like that. So those are good places to start.
Well, this is the time where we want to start thinking about pruning, and so who better to talk to than you, I'm going to say. You know, this is normally the best time if you're pruning your tree, but of course, you can prune it all year round if it's presenting a hazard or if it's a dead limb, right?
So, correct.
Aside from that, give us the reasons why we should be pruning now.
Okay, and I'm glad you mentioned you can prune all year long if there's a hazard or a safety issue. Get rid of it. You know, take care of that branch or that tree if it's a problem at that time. But right now, people like to prune and arborists like to prune this time of year, especially deciduous trees, because all the leaves fall off and you can really see the structure of the tree clearly. So you can look for those rubbing and crossing branches or what we call codominant stems that might have included bark, which are a potential for risk of failure as they get larger. So the arborist can look at the tree and say, wow, I can see the issues with this tree and I can make my cuts that I need to do to make the tree safer. Because that's the number one reason we prune trees in urban situations is for safety. And the last reason we prune the tree is for aesthetics. So we want to prune the tree for safety and we want to prune it for health. That's the goals that we're looking for. And that also this time of the year, you know, it's cold. The insects aren't out. So as you make your pruning cuts, they're not attracted to the wounds. And this is this time of the year, the diseases are down. I mean, this is kind of the dormant year when everything just stays dormant and falls asleep. So you have less chances of your tree becoming attacked by a pest if you prune this time of year. But when you're looking at pruning, you have to be careful of what you're pruning too. And that's where a good arborist, knowing the type of tree and what he's pruning, because say if you have a spring flowering tree and you bought it for spring flowering trees, if they prune that spring flowering tree this time of year, they will be cutting off all your flower buds. So you have to be careful with those things. And that's where a good arborist will know. Well, no, we're going to prune it after it blooms because spring flowering trees put on their flower buds on the previous year's growth. For instance, if you had a red bud, a Texas red bud, or say a hawthorn or a Texas mountain laurel, you know, and you bought it for those beautiful flowers or, you know, Mexican plum. You go pruning off now, you're pruning off all the flower buds, and then you go, oh, it's not a great display. So things like that you have to look out for.
Yeah, and my parents gave them a Texas mountain laurel, and it's growing really great, but they do have somebody who comes by and prunes back their shrubs every now and then, and I told my mom to tell him exclusively, do not touch that plant.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, less is more with it with trees, especially like the mountain laurels. If you don't know what the flower bud looks like, it could look like a dried up stem and people will cut it off and it's gone.
Or it's getting too big and they just want to cut it down.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many reasons that people have excuses to prune. And I don't want an excuse to prune. I mean, you should have a purpose and an objective in mind. I'm just going to go back. I'm going to read from the ANSI A300 pruning standards.
The pruning Bible?
For professionals in the Arborist Association, these are the standards that we follow. And it's the American National Standards Institute. They have standards for everything in all types of different industries, but we also have them for tree care industry. And so the A300s are the guides that arborists, especially certified arborists and anybody else who's accredited, follow these standards. There's two parts I would like to read. It's heading 4.46, topping. A lot of us know what topping is. It goes by other names, heading and other things. It states, the reduction of a tree's size, usually heading cuts that shorten limbs or branches back to a predetermined crown limit. Topping is not an acceptable pruning practice. And then it says in quotes, see 5.5.7. So you go there and it says 5.5.7. Topping and lion's tailing shall be considered unacceptable pruning practices for trees. So in our standards, topping is not recognized as a proper pruning practice. So any arborist out there who promotes and advocates topping, I would be wary of. That's just something that you want to look at. And that's one of those questions you'll find in that treesaregood.com website.
In case maybe people may not be familiar with topping, you might have driven around some neighborhoods and you see this really big tree that has absolutely no branches on them because they've been just almost completely sheared off. And what about lion's tailing? You mentioned lion's tailing.
Lion's tailing is where someone will come in and prune off every limb that they can reach from the ground, pretty much. So what you end up with is you end up with all the leaves, all your branches at the very tips of the branches. And so you end up with a branch that's clear of its branches and twigs, and then everything's at the end.
So just sort of a long, thin branch with branches at
the very end. Like a lion's tail. Uh-huh. Right. That's why they call it lion's tailing. And the thing is, when winds come through, all those branches, interior branches, help to buffer. So the tree moves as a whole, as when the winds blow, and it helps to buffer that wind, so it kind of just moves as a whole tree. Whereas when you lion's tail, that wind comes through and it catches those branches on the end, and it whips those branches around, and you have a lot of failure. So it's not a good practice for a tree.
Well, what are some basic pruning techniques that may be sort of general across the board for people who may see, you know, some rubbing branches, or there's mm-hmm. a low-hanging branch that they don't want to have there anymore? Where exactly on the branch perhaps should they be pruning? Because I know some trees have what they call collars, where the branch meets the bark, and normally that's where you'd want to prune back down to, right? But what if you have a very small or virtually no collar on that tree?
Right. That's part of knowing where to prune. When branches grow, a smaller branch growing from a larger branch, like a branch from a trunk or a twig from a branch, at that point of attachment, that's called the branch axle. And what happens is in the springtime, the branch or the twig will form its tissue first, and then that larger branch or trunk will form a secondary layer of tissue and lock it in. So you develop a sort of a bulge there called the branch collar. And the tree's defense system is built in at that point. So you always want to try to prune right just beyond the branch collar and taking off the branch and not that collar tissue. But then again, you made a point of, you know, there's not always a collar. And that's when you have co-dominant stems, stems of the same size. You don't have a collar. So you have to be able to figure out where to prune that as best as you can without destroying the integrity of the tree. And here again, a good arborist will be able to make that cut and make it all the time. But indiscriminately just pruning or tipping to get it out of your way, that's cutting internodally, as we call it, you know, between buds or between twigs, is probably the worst part that you can do. And it's very common because that part usually dies back. And if it doesn't die back, then where you had one branch, boom, it'll sprout out three or four branches. Because it, like you said earlier, you go by and you see these big trees and they took off all the branches. And what people forget from their basic biology, the leaves are the food source for the tree. So all those leaves make the food for the tree. So if you're cutting them off, you're basically starving that tree. So then the tree has to call on its stored resources to say, oh my God, my branches are gone. What do I do? So it has to form new branches, new buds, and new leaves. So it puts a lot of energy into forming those new branches and buds, whereas they're already there. Leave them there, and it's better for the tree. So learning where to prune at the branch collar, at the branch axle, basically at the points of attachments. You don't ever want to just prune out at the ends.
Well, Oscar, I think we're going to have to carry this over for one more show because I have plenty more to ask you about pruning, and I'm sure some of our listeners would like to learn a little bit more. So can you come back for another show?
Sure, I sure can.
All right. Well, thanks for listening today. Oscar Mestis has been my guest. He's the regional urban forester for the Texas Forest Service and a former co-host of Sunscape, the granddaddy to Good to Grow. So, Oscar, we're looking forward to having you back. And we want to let our audience know that you can listen to this and some of our past shows at ktep.org. Just go to the Good to Grow page. And I'll also list some of the websites that Oscar had mentioned earlier on the show on that page. I'm Norma Martinez. And remember that a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.